As you're turning there, I'd like you to think about the fact that in today's society, it's not unusual for the media to deliberately target and tear people down. If you listen to the news for just a little while, you'll find that they're reporting the worst things possible that they can find to report, and they're absolutely focusing on individuals to destroy their reputation and tear them up. Particularly these days, it seems like more and more they're focusing on Christians. Similarly, though, if you walk around and talk to people and listen to what people are talking about, you hear many people, I'm not talking about the media, just everyday conversation, people are not being nice, if you will, about other people. They'll get into groups, they'll talk about other people. And it's just disgraceful sometimes when you hear some of the conversations. Part of the problem, though, that I see today is that it's sometimes very difficult to tell who the Christians are and who the non-Christians are in those conversations. I will see people that I am sure are claiming to be saved, and they are talking flagrantly about other people. Just straight up doing it. So that dividing line is very, very hard to see. You know, today I don't think people even understand what the words defamation of character are. I know when I was young, defamation of character was something that people took seriously. You didn't go around talking about people. That was the real bottom line. You didn't do it. It was wrong. And by the way, people got sued in court over it. Today, I'm not sure what's going on. It's obvious that it's everywhere, and it seems to be accepted. As we look around today, it's just a different world, and it seems to be declining, especially in the area of speech. As we open the Bible today, we'll see that James has some very specific words to say, not only about how we talk, but how we talk about each other. As you know, James had some strong words before about the tongue and about the control of the tongue, and only a person that was perfect could control their tongue perfectly. And we're not there yet. But today, he's going to talk about how do we judge and talk about each other. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and worship you. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just ask this morning that as we open your word, that your message would be loud and clear. Father, hide my words behind your cross. Help us to hear your voice loud and clear. And I ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Okay, so James chapter 4, let's read starting in verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Wow, there's some strong words to start off with. As I think about James 11 and 12, those two verses, as I said a moment ago, they certainly point back to that whole thing about how do we control our mouth and what comes out of it. And if you remember, James was very clear about what is in your heart comes out of your mouth. If you remember, I used the analogy of a child with a box full of teddy bears. Every time they go to get a toy out of their toy box, it's a teddy bear. Why? Because that's what's in their toy box. If you have other things in there besides teddy bears, they could get something else out. Our heart's the same way. Whatever's in our heart comes out of our mouth. Make sure that your heart is filled with God's love and His grace and His mercy and an understanding of who He is. Allow Him to come out of your mouth, come out in your actions. Let His love flow through you to people around you. That's our goal as Christians. Glorify our Lord and Savior. But as I look closer to James verses 11 and 12, I see that there's another verse that James is referring back to as well. It's James 4:8, and it states the following: "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You see, this verse is speaking about how we love the Lord. Are we drawing closer to Him each and every day? Are we focused on Him? Or are we focused on the world around us? When we truly love someone, we want to be in their presence. We don't turn our back on them and walk away because we love them, we cherish them, we want to be with them. This is the love that we should have for the Lord. He loves us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. How much should we love Him? How obedient should we be to Him? The second part of that verse talks about cleansing your hands. This is about how we act, our physical actions. Our actions should be pure, very much as a priest would go and purify himself before he sacrificed. We need to be pure. We need to be walking in the presence of the Lord. We need to be prayed up and forgiven because we have confessed our sin. How are our actions? How do they represent our Lord and Savior in everyday life? You know, our thoughts and our actions betray who we are. If we are a child of God, we should act like our Father. Do you ever watch a child, especially around one of their parents? They'll often emulate their parents. And sometimes it's to the point of being amusing at how much they try to be like their parents. But that's how they grow. That's how they get closer to them. And that's how they demonstrate their love. And that's what we should be doing each and every day. In the following verses, James makes a dramatic shift. He was talking about the Lord and how we interact with the Lord. And now he's shifting and he's talking about how we're going to react and act towards other people. This is very much in accord, if you will, with what James calls the royal law. The royal law, as stated by Jesus, is in Matthew 22:37. And it's Jesus is speaking, and it says, "Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" You see, there's a two-tier relationship here. We need to focus on the Lord first. That's the greatest commandment, the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then love everyone else. Each and every person around you. And that is without exception. You can't pick people out and say, "Well, I love everybody else, but I don't love that guy. He was mean to me one time. I hate his guts." That doesn't come from the Lord. Absolutely does not come from the Lord. But I see people reacting that way even if they don't say it. It comes out. The world, notice, doesn't enter into that commandment. Love God, love people. There's nothing there about love the world. "Well, I should love the world and all the things in it." No, that's what we do. That's not who we are. We are children of God. The stuff that we love should be with Him. It should be focused on Him specifically. You want to be excited about treasures and laying up treasures? Lay them up in heaven. Don't lay them up here. Stuff doesn't count. James previously warned us about selfish pride, the fact it causes fights and wars and divisions. Now he's turning his attention to personal interaction. James is providing an example of the worst possible expression, if you will, of human pride. That's disparaging criticism of others. You see, the person that criticizes another person is putting themselves above that person. When I say, well, you know, this person does that and it's terrible and whatever, what I'm saying is, well, I'm better than all of that. I'm above that. I would never do that. I don't do that sin. That's what they should say, that sin. Because I'm sure they do plenty of other ones, including judging that person. But when you judge that person, you're putting yourself above them. You're saying, I am holier than thou, and I can judge thee. How about that? That's the message. The law of God forbids such action. Like it or not, you are loved no more and no less than every other single person that lives on the face of the earth. You see, every single one of us was created in God's image. Every single one of us. Every single one of us has the opportunity to receive the grace of God and forgiveness that comes only through Jesus Christ, because He died for every single person. Your name was on that cross. Do you know that? As Jesus was crucified, your name was put above His head. He sacrificially died for you and me. King of kings, Lord of lords, step down from glory. Why? To save us. Because we couldn't save ourselves. What an amazing thing that is. So let's open James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Do not speak evil. I think every single one of us has got an intrinsic idea of what it means to speak evil of someone else. We kind of know what that feels like and what it sounds like. But in the Greek, there's actually a special word that was used in the Bible. And that word literally means to speak against. It can be finding fault, speaking disparagingly, defaming, slandering, or talking down about someone. That pretty much covers the basis. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, it's referred to as backbiting. Peter, in 1 Peter 2:1, calls it slander. In Romans 1:30, Paul put it in a list of some of the sins of the most reprobate minds. Some of the other ones that he included in there, by the way, were backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. I like that last one. We don't even think about that one much, do we? James went on. Notice in that verse, he calls them brethren. He is speaking to the Christian community. He is calling them out, and he's calling us out about the way we speak and judge other people. What's interesting in that is he is not calling out anyone's salvation. He's not saying, you bunch of pagans, what are you doing? He's saying, brothers and sisters, correct this. This is wrong. Fix it. You know, no matter how disobedient we are as children of God, we are still His children. He doesn't turn His back on us. He doesn't disavow us. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't say, oh, I don't want you anymore. God loves us. He paid for us. That sacrifice on the sin, He bought us back. We belong to Him, and He will never let us go. He wants us to be obedient, but He's not going to throw us away when we're not. We need never to worry about that. You know, He does not hold a grudge in modern terms. Jesus doesn't say, well, you did this, I'm going to get you back. That is not our Lord and Savior. That is our thinking, our worldly thinking. It doesn't apply to Him. That verse goes on and it says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother. Speaking evil is absolutely prohibited in the Bible. In the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:16, it says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you say, well, gee, I know what they did. So-and-so told me. I heard it from a good source. Do you know anything? Not really. Even things that you witness, you don't necessarily know all the facts and what's going on. You see, again, in our minds, we just elevate ourselves up and we say, well, that person's no good. I know what they did. Well, sorry, you're not the judge. Speaking evil violates the fundamentals of the commandments of the Bible. Jesus said Himself in Matthew 22:39, and the second is like it, speaking of those great commandments, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How much are we loving our neighbor if we are judging them and speaking against them? Not very much. We should be praying for them and lifting them up. We should be willing to admit that, Lord, we don't know what all the facts are. We have never walked in their shoes, and we might not even know what actually happened. But, Lord, You do. And we just pray for you, or pray to You for them. That's where our head should be. You know, it also violates what we should do. You see, the Bible tells us to do unto others as we would like them to do unto us. Would we really like them slandering us and judging us? Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, whatever you do, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. That golden rule, if you will. We need to treat other people at least as well as we want to be treated. And as Christians, we should treat them better. If we know that they're not saved particularly, we should be particularly graceful towards them because they are blinded by this world. We've got the truth. We should tell them the truth. We should demonstrate the truth through our actions, not through our condemnation and our slander. When James speaks of the law, in this section of Scripture, it's very clear that he really is speaking about the royal law. He stated in James 2:8-9, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, we are to love God and love others. That's what's commanded. If you're speaking badly, we're not loving them. We're not treating them as we'd like to be treated. This is clearly a violation of the law on both fronts. We are judging and we are violating the law in the process. How much better are we than they when we do that? That verse goes on and it says, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. You see, a person who deliberately breaks the law, even by judging other people, disparages the law. In fact, it sets him above the law. So what you're saying is, no matter what the law says, I'm higher than the law. I can judge that person because I know. Man, that's starting to sound pretty prideful, isn't it? Wow. James goes on, he says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So a person who lifts themselves up above the law, at least in their own minds, removes themselves from the category of a doer of the law and becomes a judge of the law. They're saying, that law doesn't apply to me. Absolutely, I don't agree with it. So either it's wrong, it just flat doesn't apply to me because I'm special. Oh, Jesus, that sounds a little bad, doesn't it? Or maybe their worldview is corrupting their view of the Bible. You see, this is a real problem for Christians. Christians have not spent enough time in this word. They know bits and pieces of it. They know enough to know some of the basics and how to get saved, but they really don't understand how the law plays into their daily life. They've got a worldview that they've developed over their entire lifetime, and it's influenced by the world. It literally is a worldview. It's not a view from God's perspective. And so they say, well, gee, that law doesn't seem right to me. I'll ignore it. Move on. We see it. We see Christians slandering other people. How does that happen? They're either completely ignoring it or they've discarded it for one reason or another. God's word, his revelation to us, his love letter to us, and we're throwing it away. I don't like that part. Forget it. It's gone. James 4:12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? There is one lawgiver, only one. The only source of the law is God. We are not a source of the law. We're not qualified to judge, change, contextualize, or minimize the law. You see, God is fully and completely knowledgeable. He's 100% wise. He's 100% pure and true and loving. He established the law. We don't stand a chance with our tiny minds in comparison to him of understanding the depth of the law. How can we judge something that we don't understand fully? We can't. How can we live up to his moral standards? We can't. His law is very descriptive. We can't judge it, we can't change it, we can't contextualize it, and we can't minimize it. It's not possible without sinning. You see, if we are judging the law, we're declaring ourselves wise enough to fill the job that the Lord has done. In our pride and arrogance, we're stating that we are like God and we're usurping His power. Think about it that way for a moment. The verse goes on and says, speaking of God, who is able to save and destroy. This verse caused me immediately to think of Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Wow. God is able to destroy the soul and the body. Satan wanted to be like God. He was full of pride. Satan's fate's already been declared. You know that? He knows what's going to happen to him. He doesn't have to wait for judgment day. He has already been beaten, and he knows the end of the story. He'll be thrown into the lake of fire that never goes out, a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Eternal torment. Torment. Satan must not be our model of behavior. We must not be prideful like him and lift ourselves above the law and say, we can do whatever we want. It's okay for me to judge that person because I know what's going on. They're a bad person. Well, guess what? We're bad people too. Only by the blood of Jesus that we have opportunity for salvation, because of our own accord we wouldn't have it. As Christians, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and approach the Lord with a heart that is broken for Him. No pride involved. In doing so, we will find that we are no longer focused on pride, but will be willing to follow His law. That's what it takes. We have to be broken for Him. We have to examine ourselves. How perfect are we? Observe yourself. You can do it as you go through the day. Stop and ask yourself, was that something I said or did that came from the Lord? Or was that from me and the world? If you think about it, God is fully justified in doing with men whatever He desires. He created us. He sustains us. And He sent His Son to die for us. But at the end of the day, He owns us. We are His. Whether we are obedient or not, whether we are saved or not, He owns all things and can do with us as He pleases. Praise the Lord that He is just and that He is merciful and full of grace. That verse ends with, "Who are you to judge another?" Giving everything that has preceded in that verse and the one before, you have to argue that that verse is somewhat rhetorical. Who are you to judge someone else? We are unfit to judge the law, and we are unfit to judge anyone else. The statement clearly shows God's anger of the people who are judging others. It's pretty clear. We are not to judge. James' letter thus far has shown that behind a critical judging spirit is an attitude that usurps God's authority. And it's full of pride. When we speak out of arrogance and pride and judge other people, that is not from the Lord. It is straight up sin. The truth is, we are not God. We are His servants. He created us for His good works. Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." You see, we are servants of God. We have no business judging other servants. Each and every one of us will have to answer to the Lord. We will get our day in front of the Lord. As children of God, we will be at the Bema Seat Judgment. Praise the Lord for that. We will not be at the White Throne Judgment waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. There's one supporting scripture that we should look at before we close it today. And that's Luke 6:37 that we read earlier today. And it says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You see, Luke is making very similar statements to what James just made. We're not to judge. But then Luke goes on to say that as a result, we won't be judged. Why not? Because we haven't committed a sin. If we don't judge other people, we're not sinning. We're not going to get judged for something we didn't do. You can be tempted to do something, but if you haven't acted on it, you're not going to be judged for it. Luke went on one step further, and he talks about condemnation. And you see, if you're not committing the sin, you're not judged, and therefore you're not condemned. You don't need to worry about that condemnation. Put it behind you. Focus on the Lord and doing His will. However, flip that around for one moment and think about the person that is quick to judge and to condemn. And I've heard many people that do that. Sometimes it's really hard not to do it. I see what's going on. I'm upset. My emotions are overcoming me. I'm not focused on the Lord, and out it comes. Never happens, right? Of course it does. If they're not saved, they're going to say whatever's in their head. It's going to come out of their mouth because it's coming out of their heart. And they don't have the love of God. And so whatever the world has put in there, that's what's coming out of their mouth. That's what they're thinking about. I won't say we're immune to it because we're not perfected. But we certainly can be aware of it. We can certainly be walking close with the Lord. We can certainly be focused on Him so that our toy box is nearly full of teddy bears. Not so many bayonets or knives in there. It's hard some days, I know. We should be following the footsteps of Jesus. Think about the life of Jesus. He was condemned. He was beaten, he was hung on a cross, and he died for us because he loves us that much. How much do we love the unsaved of the world? How much do we love the Hamas? How much do we love all of these individual groups that are out causing terror? How much do we love some of these pagan religions that are supporting worldwide strife? Do we love those people? As Christians, our attitude should be one of forgiveness, not a judgment and condemnation. We need to be very careful not to slander anyone or to judge them. That's not who we are. As we walk in the light of the Lord and draw closer to Him, our reactionary, prideful, ill feelings towards others will diminish. We will become more like Jesus as we walk with Him more, as we focus on Him more, as our Lord and Savior, and understand how much He loves us and every other single person on the face of the earth, no matter where they stand or what they say or what they do. My prayer for you today is that you consider your path, the way you speak, the way you think about others. Is it godly? Is your mouth pure? Are you saying the right things? Are you acting the right way? Do you have a problem with your attitude that it's not focused on the Lord? If you do, you need to repent and follow Jesus. My prayer for each one of us today is that we draw closer to Him. And if He is not your Lord and Savior, that you make that right today. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for the blessings that You give us each and every day. Lord, I thank You for Your finished word, that we can draw a little closer to You and get a better understanding of You. Lord, we know that we fall so short in being perfect. But Lord, we want to follow You. We want to be Your faithful servants. We want to be Your light unto the world. Help us, Lord, to be that pure light. Help us to be uncorrupted by the world. Help us to be faithful ambassadors in all that we say and do. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.